Former President Donald Trump is facing several investigations. Here's a partial list. For possibly violating the Espionage Act in the case of documents at Mar-a-Lago. For possible election fraud in trying to change the vote count in Georgia. For potentially inciting a crowd to storm the U.S. Capitol on January 6th for possible tax fraud. And there is a new development in one case against Trump's businesses. His longtime chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, is reported to be in talks to plead guilty in a case brought by the Manhattan District Attorney. So, where do all these other cases stand? Let's sort through them now with somebody who has covered Donald Trump for more than three decades. Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter David K. Johnston joins us. David, good to talk to you.
Glad to be with you, Scott.
David, you have covered Donald Trump from Atlantic City to the White House for more than three decades. He is, shall we say, no stranger to investigations. USA Today has tallied more than 4,000 legal cases involving Donald Trump over the years. He is the defendant in about 2,000 of those cases. Does that sound about right to you?
It does. And Donald has never been charged criminally with anything. He's had numerous civil decisions and regulatory decisions, however, that were against him. In his 30s, he beat four federal grand juries. In a sales tax scheme he was involved in, he got out of it by ratting out other people. Donald was taught by the notorious Roy Cohn how to evade prosecution. You attack law enforcement, you say it has no integrity, you muddy the waters, and then you delay. And he's been extraordinarily successful at that.
Wow. Okay, to the investigations. As you say, David, Donald Trump has never been charged in a criminal case. Right now, the Justice Department is looking into possible violations of the Espionage Act. That is where the warrants for FBI agents to search his home in Florida come in. One central question that you've asked in an article is, why might Donald Trump want to keep this stuff, if indeed he did?
Right. Well, since the FBI executed that search warrant, Trump and his lawyers have put out a whole series of statements, all of which have fallen apart within hours, including these were mementos he wanted to keep and that he had a standing order to declassify documents, which none other than John Bolton, his national security advisor, has said is nonsense. My column at DC Report, the news organization my friends and I run, is about what Donald is known for, finding value in things and selling them. And intelligence reports that might be used to identify or might even name American spies or assets in other countries would be enormously valuable, as would nuclear secrets to countries hostile to the United States.
You have known and covered Donald Trump for three decades. Do you get a sense he would be interested in wanting to sell the country's secrets?
Yes. Because Donald, it's very important to understand, Donald has no loyalty to anyone but himself. And his own executives, his own salespeople over the decades have been among my very best sources about him, his own lawyers. Mm. Remember, this is a man who said publicly he took Vladimir Putin at his word but did not trust American intelligence agencies.
I'm curious, when you say many of his close business confidants have been your sources, why do they talk to you?
Well, because at Donald Trump's organization, loyalty is a one-way street. You are either loyal to Donald or you're out. And many people have exploited that and gotten them somewhere else. But many people have also had Donald turn on them.
Okay, let's move on to Georgia. The district attorney of Fulton County has opened a criminal investigation into the 2020 election. And today, Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani is to testify before the grand jury. What is at stake in this case?
The grand jury that's meeting now, under the peculiar circumstances of Georgia, can't indict. But once that investigation is complete, Fannie Willis, the Fulton County district attorney, goes to another grand jury, and then we'll see who she seeks indictments of. But it wouldn't make sense to indict the people who were involved in the fake elector scheme and some other matters unless you were also planning to indict Donald Trump, especially given that tape-recorded request to Brad Raffensperger to find 11,800 votes that don't exist.
There's a case in the state of New York The attorney general is looking into possible misrepresentation of assets to lenders and to tax authorities. In this case, the president last week invoked the Fifth. What is the attorney general, what is she looking into?
Letitia James, the elected attorney general of New York, is pursuing a civil case against Donald Trump for manipulating his finances. In one case, he listed the value of a mansion he owns at $219 million, which is roughly 10 times what it's worth, in connection with seeking loans. Making a false statement about your income or your assets on a loan application is a crime. If you do it once or twice, nothing's going to happen in all likelihood. She's trying to show a pattern of Donald Trump doing this repeatedly. And let's remember that two prior attorney generals shut down the fake Trump University and shut down the Trump Foundation, which Donald was using to benefit himself by buying things with charitable money for himself. So their track record so far has been quite strong. And I expect there will be some kind of either financial settlement or the attorney general will get the Trump Organization shut down and put out of business.
Okay. I want to ask you about Donald Trump's tax returns. The House Ways and Means Committee won an appeals court ruling to view these tax returns. Do you sense that will actually happen?
Well, Trump will no doubt appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, which will have to decide whether to take the case or not. But I will tell you, as someone who's written about taxes for my whole life, this is the only known case in 98 years that the requirement that a tax return shall be given to Congress on written request was not honored.
Okay. I want to ask you about January 6th. Of course, the Congressional Committee is holding more hearings next month. Where do things stand there?
Well, that investigation has turned up more and more things that show there was a great deal more going on than we originally knew about. There was the war room at the Willard Hotel in Washington where Trump's top advisors were plotting what they were going to do to interfere with the peaceful transition of power, which, by the way, I predicted in 2015 Trump would never leave office peacefully. That inquiry has resulted in many more people coming forward. So I think we're going to hear a great deal more in September and October from that committee.
But as far as the Justice Department,
we haven't heard from the Justice Department, and we shouldn't. Prosecutors are supposed to keep their lips sealed. Every time you read about leaks in an investigation, they come from either the defense trying to get something out early, or they come from people ancillary to the case on the edges of it who want to get something out. They never come from prosecutors.
Where do you think the former president might be the most vulnerable?
Well, I think Donald Trump's greatest vulnerability is going to be with the Justice Department, and that he took these super sensitive materials on both intelligence and nuclear weapons, and either he or his lawyers at his direction told the Justice Department that they'd returned all the documents when they had not. That almost mandates prosecution because it puts American national security at risk and creates terrible problems for those people who are our agents and assets for the intelligence community around the world. That's got to be his biggest and darkest worry here. The Georgia case, similarly, that's a criminal case. And it's when your liberty is put at risk that you're most concerned, because anything else, you can find a way to finance it and walk away.
And just curious, what is your earliest memory of Donald Trump? Seeing him, covering him?
Well, one of the earliest was Donald arriving at his Marina Casino, the only time he went on his boat, the Trump Princess, and people shouting, "Donald, be our president." That was in 1989.
Oh, my goodness. And how did he respond?
He smiled and he waved and he went on. But he's been talking about why he should be president. He's the only really qualified person to be president since at least 1987.
David K. Johnston is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporting. He has covered Donald Trump for more than three decades. David, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.